gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is your window to the world of free speech, because you're locked in a room and you're not allowed to speak freely, but you look out that window and you can see your hosts and guests on RBN, and we are speaking freely. We're trying to do it for you sometimes on your behalf, or something like that. Anyway, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage. Okay, today we've got Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's great to be here. And I like that intro. I always like your wacky intros. But today, a window to free speech. Well, I think there's something we need to talk about that's happened here in Britain, which tells you everything you need to know about free speech.
So what's happened?
Well, here in Britain, and I think we've talked about her before, there's a very famous black member of parliament called Diane Abbott.
We talked about her.
We have. I'm sure we've talked about her quite a bit in the past.
Okay.
And she's quite famous. And I'll just give you a rundown of who she is. Diane Abbott was the first female black member of parliament. So, you know, she holds a pretty sort of historically important position in British politics. But not only was she the first black female to take a seat in parliament, she's also the longest serving black member of parliament. Now, do you know how many years she's served in parliament, Patrick?
20.
Longer than that, actually. 36 years.
Wow.
Now, I don't know, and I could Google it when you're speaking. So when you take to the mic, I'll mute up and Google it, because I don't actually know this. I don't know who is the longest serving member of parliament. But at 36 years, I think that's a pretty decent tenure. And at the last general election, she took 70.3% of the vote. So she is somebody who is pretty damn popular in her own constituency. And she's also, during her tenure as an MP, she has served as Shadow Home Secretary. So she has been on the shadow bench as well. So she's pretty important. And she's always been, because of her...
Has she ever been in the cabinet?
No, she's never been in the cabinet. She's only ever been in the shadow cabinet.
Because Tony Blair is such a racist, he won't have her.
I don't know. I don't know, actually. I mean, that could be an argument that you could make, that Tony Blair was such a raving racist. I wouldn't personally make that argument. But, she has never served as an actual member of the cabinet, but she has served on the shadow cabinet. So she's still, nonetheless, a pretty important individual in British politics. And from the left's point of view, she's a bit of a hero, because she's obviously, you know, had this position of, you know, being the first black female elected to parliament, the longest serving black MP. And, you know, with this idea of intersectionality, as they call it, which can be translated as sort of the totem pole of oppression. So, you know, she's pretty high up. You know, she's an overweight black woman from a low income area that has risen to, you know, a member of parliament. So she's somebody that the left has always built up as a hero and somebody who should be looked up to. However,
and
now,
so what's her name?
Diane Abbott.
Diane Abbott. Okay.
Now she's in quite a bit of trouble. She's in quite a bit of trouble because she made the mistake of speaking out against the Jews. She made the mistake of naming them and daring to say, and this is the thing, this has come, you know, the British press have been talking about this for the best part of the week, and they've made out that Diane is really, really full of hate. You know, she's anti-Semitic. What she said is absolutely horrifying. It's unthinkable. It's almost to a point where you can't repeat what she said, because, you know, it's absolutely so sickening, so gut churning, so awful and evil, and just out and out, out and out horrifying and stomach churning that anyone could possibly say something like this about Jews. So with all this fuss, you'd actually wonder, and rightfully so, what has Diane Abbott said? What could Diane Abbott have said in order to anger these Jews so much? Well, all she said was that she believes that the experience of Jews in the West is different to the experience of blacks in the West when it comes to racism, and that she believes that black people have suffered more under whites, basically under Western oppression, than Jews. And she made this point because she said, you know, in apartheid South Africa, Jews who she did claim were not white. She said, you know, people who look white, Jews, were allowed to vote. She made the point that in, you know, southern America, when there was segregation, when there was Jim Crow, Jews weren't forced to sit at the back of the bus. And as such, she believes that black people have faced greater oppression over the years. And she also made the point that, you know, Jews weren't manacled on the slave ships. She said, you know, Jews weren't manacled on the slave ships traveling over from Africa. So she believes that her people, black people, are greater victims of racism than Jews. And for simply saying that, which I, you know, I look at it and I would say that's her opinion, and she's absolutely entitled to her opinion. Do I agree with a lot of her race baiting? No, I don't. Do I think she's a wonderful person? No, I don't. Do I hate her? No, I certainly don't. But I think she's entitled to her opinion. But now, for that opinion and for voicing that opinion, she's been suspended from the Labour Party. Leading Jewish newspapers and groups are calling for her expulsion. And this is one of these anti-Semitism scandals that dominates the news for weeks. And it's not over yet, because she hasn't had her punishment in full. So until she's fully punished, until we know what's happening to poor old Diane, we can't actually find out. You know, we can't see an end to this, you know, an end to the tunnel. There's no light at the end of this tunnel yet, because they're going to keep talking about this and talking about it. So, and eventually, when her punishment's meted out, it'll start again.
I just want to clarify. So she said that the Jewish experience was different than the black experience. She didn't say greater than, less than.
Well, she didn't. I can actually read what she said. I'll read it in full. Now, I've done a video about this here. So you can watch it on my channel. But she said, it is true that many types of white people with points of difference, such as redheads, can experience this prejudice, but they are not all their lives subject to racism. In pre-civil rights America, Irish people, Jewish people and travellers were not required to sit at the back of the bus. In apartheid South Africa, these groups were allowed to vote, and at the height of slavery, there were no white-seeming people manacled on the slave ships. So she hasn't said they don't experience racism. That's not what she said.
I want to say something. In pre-Civil War or pre-Civil Rights South of America, nobody knew what a traveller was. In fact, the audience doesn't know what a traveler was. A traveler is an Irish gypsy, like that big fighter, right?
Yeah.
What's our fighter's name?
Tyson Fury.
Tyson Fury.
Yeah. So
nobody would make him sit at the back of the bus.
Indeed, they wouldn't. but when you look at all this and what's sort of being said and what's going on here, you can actually see that. I don't believe what she said is particularly contentious. She hasn't used any slurs. She hasn't said anything insulting about Jews. She simply dared to claim that she, as a prominent black woman, as a member of parliament and a prominent black woman, she believes that Jews have a different experience to blacks. And she believes that blacks have faced more or worse racism throughout history in Western nations than Jews. And she cites her reasoning for that. Now, I find this really interesting, because a few weeks ago, Diane Abbott was this darling of the left. She was a darling of the left that could do no wrong in their eyes. And really, people on the left loved her. But now she's being completely depersoned. Not only is she being suspended from the Labour Party, but they are actually talking about potentially expelling her from the Labour Party.
Mm-hmm. So, you know...
And by the way, just to answer your question, I was tapping away there on the keyboard. Out of everyone sitting in Parliament at the moment, she is the joint 12th longest serving member of Parliament who sat in Parliament at the moment. So the longest serving parliamentarian was elected on the 26th of June 1975, Sir Peter Bottomley, and he's a Conservative. But she's down at number 14. So she's had a very long tenure, and she's right up there at the very top of the list of current serving parliamentarians, you know, when it comes to longest serving current sitting MPs.
Yeah, and I looked her up, and she's 69 years old, isn't she?
Well, she's obviously getting on a bit because she's done 36 years in Parliament. So, yeah, you'd expect a parliamentarian to be elected or a member of Parliament to be elected sort of at the earliest, really, you know, in their 30s. I know some now are elected in their 20s, but generally speaking, that's a more modern occurrence. So, you know, she has had a very long tenure.
Right. You know, and so I'm making the point she's 69. Was she born in Britain or was she born somewhere else?
I'm going to have to be your Diane Abbott fact checker now. So I'm going to fact check you on some of these things. So
you can have this argument about, you know, which group suffered what kind of racism and this and that. But, you know, if you're Jewish, you're going to be pointing to the Holocaust. And unless you're very ancient, the events of the 30s and early 40s are not your personal events. These are just things you've heard about. And Diane Abbott was talking about Jim Crow and apartheid South Africa. I don't think she lived in those places.
No, she was born to Jamaican parents in Paddington, London, on the 27th of September 1953. Her father worked as a welder and her mother a nurse. Both parents left school at the age of 14. She attended Harrow County School for Girls, a grammar school, then Newham College, Cambridge, where she read history, achieving a lower second class degree at Cambridge. One of her supervisors was Sir Simon Scarmer, who is, and they say that, so he is Jewish. So they were saying that one of the people who basically... you know, mentored her was in fact Jewish.
Mm-hmm. So she didn't personally experience any kind of legal discrimination. So even in her case, she's referencing systems or events in other countries at other times. And so whereas Jews would be referencing almost all of them, I mean, unless they're ancient, things that happened in other places at other times. And so this is what the debate has come to. And of course, these things that they're talking about, whether, you know, if you're talking about the Holocaust, these are things that nobody's really allowed to question. And then, you know, apartheid in South Africa, I'm sure there was objectionable aspects to it, but since the ending of apartheid, the country's like fallen apart. And the same with Jim Crow. One of the things about Jim Crow, and you're not really allowed to investigate that much, but I was watching a very old interview from, I think, 1959, between Mike Wallace, who was certainly well-known in my generation. His son, Chris Wallace, is pretty known today as a Fox News, or I guess he's on CNN now. He used to be on Fox News. But, you know, Mike Wallace was a big deal personality on CBS News. And he interviewed James Eastland, who was a senator from Mississippi, And, you know, at the time, 1959, Mike Wallace was a youngish kind of brash Jew. He would have probably been about 40 at the time. And Eastland was older. And Mike Wallace was trying to pin him down on segregation, which was still ongoing in 1959 in Mississippi. And James Eastland was trying to educate him. I'd like to know exactly how accurate everything he was saying. But James Eastland was saying, well, you're talking about these Jim Crow laws. Let me tell you, these Jim Crow laws were passed in the wake of the Civil War at a time when whites were not allowed to vote by governments led by blacks. And the points of the laws was to give black businessmen, black shopkeepers, a captive audience, a captive clientele, because they didn't want to compete with white shopkeepers. And to what I'm sure there's a certain amount of truth in it. I'd like to know all the details. But the point I'm making is that so much of the experiences that whites, that blacks or Jews or others complain about, A, they're not their lived experiences. They're just things that they read about in history books. And B, if you were to have a really honest, open discussion about those histories, there's probably two sides to the story, one of which they choose to ignore. That's my point.
I certainly agree with what you're saying. And I think for me, Diane Abbott is a race baiter. She's been used by the system to often, you know, attack white people, to talk about things such as white privilege, to mainstream, you know, the idea that there is a system, you know, of oppression, which she's talking about here. But, and despite the fact that I disagree with what she's talking about, I don't believe in white privilege. I think that's all a nonsense. If there was such a thing as white privilege, young white lads wouldn't be getting arrested for sticking up stickers that say white lives matter. In fact, you know, you can lose your job for saying white lives matter or sticking up a sticker that says white lives matter. If there was white privilege, saying white lives matter would be something that would be smiled upon. In fact, it wouldn't even be necessary to say it. You know, if you say black lives matter, you probably get a promotion. You're certainly not going to get sacked from your job for saying black lives matter. So the idea of white privilege is nonsensical, and she pushes this, and she has been very useful to the left. The left have found her over the years to be an important tool in their anti-white toolbox. You know, she's always been wheeled out to talk about things such as oppression and racial inequality, and to bang the drum for, you know, more special, you know, measures for you know, black people, or as they call them now, people of color, because that's their sort of nebulous term for all people who aren't of European descent, as if all people who aren't of European descent have exactly the same needs, wants, backgrounds and experiences. But here she's gone a little bit off the reservation, because she's come to the conclusion that black people are actually treated worse than Jews. And she said that. And my thing here is that on saying that, she has basically become massively unstuck. She's this woman who's achieved all of these. And look, not taking anything away from her, because we can all sit there and laugh at. She's one of those MPs that tends to say silly things and that people laugh at. And conservatives especially seem to love mocking Diane Abbott. And Diane Abbott is one of their sort of, like, you know, most hated MPs. They're like, oh my God, it's Diane Abbott. She says stupid things. She's a clown. She's this, she's that. But putting all that to one side, and putting it to one side that I disagree with her assessment that the Western world is this horrible racist place that treats people of color, you know, appallingly. Putting all that to one side, and looking at this from the light of, should she be allowed to say that? Yes, she should.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
The Beverly Hillbilly.
Western world is this horrible racist place that treats people of color, you know, appallingly. Putting all that to one side and looking at this from the light of, should she be allowed to say that? Yes, she should. Do I think it is insulting to Jews or to anyone else what she said? No, it's her opinion. And her opinion is based on a misunderstanding of history. But do I think people should be able to misunderstand history or view it from a different angle? Of course I do. I advocate for that. I advocate for the right to discuss things like, you know, the Holocaust. I advocate for the right to discuss issues in the light of, you know, modern revelations about historical happenings. So I think people should be allowed to talk about why the chimney wasn't connected to the main building in a certain place, you know, in Poland. I think people should be allowed to talk about that, but they're not. And I think she should be allowed to talk about the things she was talking about. But what I find amazing is how Diane Abbott, in the matter of a week, has gone for the left from hero to zero. And he's facing the destruction of this absolutely, you know, incredible. Look, and whether you like her or hate her, her career has been incredible. It's been incredible from the point of view that she has served in Parliament for so long, that she's received such an incredible amount of support from her constituency to take over 70% of the vote in an election in a parliamentary constituency is almost unheard of. You know, she
But if Jews who live outside of her constituency are offended by her, what does it matter if the 70% of the people in her constituency who support her, what does it matter what they think?
It doesn't. And that's where I'm getting to. It doesn't matter. And this tells you everything you need to know about Western power structures. Who's in control, who can speak, and how you can go from hero to zero in a single sentence. Now, to suggest that Diane Abbott is some, grotesque anti-Semite who is out to get the Jews is absolutely ludicrous. It's ludicrous. She's not. She's just voiced an opinion. Secondly,
She's not going Kanye.
No, this isn't Kanye at all. You know, Kanye was walking around in a White Lives Matter hoodie. She's absolutely not doing that. She is just saying, she's saying almost the opposite to Kanye, that white people are terrible, but they're less terrible to Jews and travellers and Irish gypsies than they are to blacks. That's what she said. Now, I fundamentally disagree with the nonsense that she talks, but I do believe she has the right to say it. And I think what we can learn from this is just how much power Jews have. You know, she has proved that there is a hierarchy, but the hierarchy isn't one where blacks are at the top, and it's certainly not one where whites are at the top. The hierarchy is a hierarchy where Jews sit at the top and are fundamentally in a position of such power that even when an incredibly popular and successful member of parliament comes forth and makes what is the smallest comment, almost completely innocuous comment about them, she has to apologise immediately. But an apology is not good enough. Now she is facing expulsion from the Labour Party. Now, can you imagine expelling somebody who's got 70% of the support in their area for having an opinion that isn't, you know, not using a racial slur, not going crazy, but just having an opinion on, you know, the issue of who is the most oppressed? And this, I think, speaks volumes about Jewish power, about Jewish control, but also about Jewish fragility. The Jews doing this are so desperate to prove to the world that they are always the most oppressed, that their suffering can never be forgotten, that you can't even question it in the most mild of terms. You know, this isn't, you know, she wasn't walking through the streets of Hackney wearing an SS uniform, throwing up Roman salutes and waving a swastika flag. She simply said, and, you know, if she did that, again, I think that's her right. It would be quite comical. But, she did do that, I could probably understand why the media would be getting their knickers in a twist. But the fact is, she hasn't. And I think that over the last few years, specifically, more so than ever, we have seen the mask come off in terms of Jewish power and in terms of Jewish individuals flexing their power upon others. So this is a huge power flex, and I think we've seen that in America. I think we discussed last week the sacking of Tucker Carlson, but I think that was a Jewish power flex. I think they wanted him gone. I think the ADL wanted him gone. I think there was Jews in Fox who wanted him gone, and I think a lot of this is down to Jewish influence. They didn't like the things that Tucker was saying. And, you know, I don't think no one's going to change my mind on that. I think, you know, Tucker, you know, strayed a little far from the a little far off the reservation. And fundamentally, he has paid the price with his career. But we're seeing this more and more. And I'm sure you could give examples from America. I mean, the Whoopi Goldberg example is quite interesting as well. Obviously, Kanye West went well off the reservation. But these Jewish power flexes, I think, are becoming more and more common and are more and more indicative.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red. A horse is a horse, of course, of course, and no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Quite interesting as well. You know, obviously Kanye West went well off the reservation, but these Jewish power flexes, I think, are becoming more and more common and are more and more indicative of really what we're going to see in the future in terms of the way that Jews leverage their power, not just over white people, but over any racial group that speaks out against the power structures in any way.
So you mentioned Whoopi Goldberg, and Whoopi Goldberg got herself, what was it, a 2 or 6 week suspension from her job. It was at least 2 weeks. It might have been 6 weeks. From her job on a morning show, and which I'm sure is very lucrative. And what had she done? She had said that the Nazis hated Jews because of their religion, not because of their race. I think that's what it was. That the Jews were attacked.
Yeah, she claimed that Jews weren't a race. She said that the Nazi persecution of Jews was motivated not by racial hatred, but by a religious hatred, because Jews are white. And at that point, Jews went absolutely mental. And I genuinely, again, don't think she was saying that to offend Jews. I think she believed, naively, that Jews were not a racial group.
And and of course, if you were to say Jews are if she were to make the exact opposite claim or something, that Jews were attacked because of their race, not because of their religion. It wasn't a religious thing; it was a racial thing. She'd probably have gotten a similar kind of attack. You know, it's
yeah, just, yeah, a million percent. A million percent.
Don't go there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have what's her name? Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's a member of Congress.
She's looking a bit dumpy these days.
she's weird.
I noticed Nick Fuentes was reveling in Large Marge's weight gain the other day. I know he was having a good chuckle at her expense.
Yeah, because, you know, she had come to one of his conferences, and he was very nice and polite to her. And then when she started feeling some heat from it, she just did a 180 and denounced him.
Yes.
And so he is now on her ridicule list, on his ridicule list. He ridicules her whenever he has a chance. He coined the term Large Marge, and it's a good term, but she's weird. I mean, she's got this history of like leaving her husband for some weightlifting sex guru or just weird stuff like that. She's not that bright, and in her lack of brightness, she had compared something to the Holocaust, and by comparing anything to the Holocaust, you are removing the uniqueness from the Holocaust. And so she was denounced. I don't remember what she compared to the Holocaust, but she compared something to the Holocaust. And she had to go to the Holocaust Museum and give umbrage or whatever it is, whatever. And so, man, she's willing to do that. She's willing to do whatever it takes. And, you know, you look at these politicians, and you got somebody like Ron DeSantis, who is trying to be presented as the successor to Trump, for the candidate for disgruntled white people. And yet, you know, as Florida governor, he's made multiple trips to Israel. He's whenever there's a Jewish holiday, he's got a tweet about how much he loves the Jewish culture and Jewish religion and how fundamental it is to Judeo-Christianity and all of this. And it's just disgusting. Anybody who wants to get anywhere in American politics has to like set up a shrine in their office to Jews and worship at it whenever requested. And you know, you talked about like a totem pole. I think that you used the term totem pole. So, you know, you got two totem poles. You got one, a totem pole of victimhood, and another, a totem pole of the power structure. And the thing is, the Jews are at the top of both totem poles, which is weird. How can you be the most victimized and the most powerful? But obviously they are. I mean, well, they're not really the most victimized, but officially the victimization totem pole, you know, the blacks can make a claim to being at the top of it, right? Because, you know, there's the whole slavery and Jim Crow stuff, which is exploited so much by Jews in order to attack whites, that this makes blacks feel like they've got a claim to being the biggest victims. The power totem pole is not simply an identical carbon copy of the victimization totem pole, even though you still have Jews at the top, but who's next to Jews is Jewish adjacent politicians, Jewish adjacent politicians, people who are willing to do Jewish bidding. It helps if they are people of color, but they don't have to be. I mean, you've got all of these just standard white people. Like, I'll just throw out Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor, or Joe Biden, anybody who's just willing to do what the Jewish power structure wants, they can be the next rung down from Jews on the power structure. And basically, the power structure, if you're going to look at the power structure, it's not so much the color of your skin or anything, it is your relationship to Jews. And the people who are at the bottom, people who are without are absolutely powerless, are people who even not don't necessarily call out Jewish power, aren't even necessarily aware of Jewish power, but just for whatever reason work against the priorities of Jewish power. That's what I have to say.
That's an interesting point. And the most interesting point is you have these two totem poles and they're at the top. Well, actually, in my video on this, I actually said, you know, sitting atop the regular totem pole is the black, the one-legged black Muslim lesbian, because she's got it all. And that's what people see when people talk about oppression. They would, you know, in this intersectionality, as the left call it, she would be oppressed on multiple levels. She's oppressed because she's female. She's oppressed because she's a sexual minority. She's oppressed because she's disabled, and she's oppressed because she's black. So, you know, when you take intersectionality, as they call it, into account, or the totem pole, as I call it more mockingly, she's at the very top, this mythical one-legged black lesbian, you know, is at the very top. But I said above the totem pole, above what you can see, there's like a layer of cloud. And above that layer of cloud, sort of residing in this position of complete power, is Jews, or are Jews. You know, they sit at the very, very top of the totem pole, but it's at a hidden level, because they don't like to, they don't like people to know they're there. And they are so powerful that even the mythical one-legged black lesbian, one-legged black Muslim lesbian, can't challenge them for power. They have so much power, and they have historically enjoyed that power and used it in a way that separates them to such an extent that they cannot be criticized for anything. But your way of putting it is very interesting, because you're suggesting there's sort of two totem poles, and one totem pole is the totem pole of power, and one totem pole is the totem pole of oppression. But they simultaneously manage to sit at the top of both, which is almost counterintuitive, because Diane Abbott would say there's a totem pole of power that whites sit at the top of, and there's a totem pole of oppression that blacks sit at the top of. So whites would be the least oppressed, and they would be the bottom of the totem pole of oppression. But that would correlate with them being at the top of the totem pole of power. But your way of looking at it is really interesting, because it shines this light upon the situation, which shows the hypocrisy that we're living under. So Jews are extremely prominent in banking, campaign finance, the media, filmmaking, the music industry. They have all this power over our money, power to influence us, you know, power in politics, power to influence the outcome of elections. But at the same time, they claim to be the most oppressed, the most disenfranchised, the most beaten down. And those two things just simply don't marry up.
Yeah, unless you want to say that they succeeded against all odds, which is what they want to say, that they succeeded against all odds. Kevin MacDonald wrote an article. It actually got published in an Israeli academic journal, and I think it subsequently was unpublished, because I guess it was online rather than a print journal. And he was talking about it a year ago or so, and I just actually saw on YouTube his discussion of it in front of the League of the South, which I was surprised to find something like that on YouTube. But he made the case that you can factor in as much Jewish intelligence as you can shoehorn into a discussion, and it still won't explain the Jewish domination of society. There are these other factors of ethnic networking and this and that. And of course, the thing is, they get power, and then they use that power to guard their power, to acquire more power. They have this, and I guess it's gone off the charts in the past several decades, but they have this feeling that either they rule or they're going to be wiped out. So they have this, I don't know, like do or die mentality that they've got to be absolutely on top. If they let anything slip, if there's any discussion of their power, unless they're on top, they're going to be eliminated. They're going to be holocausted. And even Jews who are not particularly religious have almost a religious dedication to this proposition that, you know, they cannot survive unless they are on top, because they're going to be holocausted. And of course, it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy, because their behavior becomes so awful and so dangerous to the people that they live amongst, that, you know, we in America live in the least, like the most philo-Semitic society you could imagine. And some Jews have taken note of it, how pro-Jewish it is. And yet the oppression is getting so heavy-handed that people are going to realize it. And to the extent there's ever going to be anti-Semitism in the United States, it's going to be a reaction to this Jewish behavior, because there was no anti-Semitism. I mean, there was no real anti-Semitism. It was the most philo-Semitic society you could imagine, to the point where people are having all their kids circumcised, even. They're undergoing Jewish rituals for absolutely no reason. They're doing all sorts of things. But yet there is this feeling that either if they don't, they're riding a tiger, and if they ever let go, then they're going to be eaten by the tiger. That's their feeling. And in doing so, they create a tiger where none was in the first place.
I think that's a very, very interesting position to take, and I think it's fundamentally correct. I think you're correct. I think that it's a very interesting situation that we're in, because a lot of things, or a lot of industries that, and I've said this before, that Jews, you know, take over and dominate, or create and dominate, could be used for good, but instead are generally used in a way that I feel personally has a negative impact upon our people. So there is always a need for money to be looked after, invested, stored. You know, you do need banks, but you don't have to use those banks to control and enslave people with, you know, horrendous rates of interest, etc. You don't have to do business that way. In terms of media, you can produce good media for a population that, you know, raises up that population. You can produce media for a population that is good for them. Not all media has to be degenerate, terrible, bad, make young people rebel against their parents. It just doesn't. You can have good media. You can, same with music. You know, music doesn't have to push, you know, gangsterism, truancy, you know, disrespectful lyrics. It can be uplifting. But it just seems to me that when Jews do get hold of these industries, or, you know, are involved in certain endeavors, they use their power to push something which is not in the interests of the host nation, but in the long term, it's not in the interests of the Jews either. So, for example, the damage that they're doing to America through Hollywood is not in the interests of the American people. It's not in the interests of white Americans. And I don't think it's in the interest of any racial group, actually, for that matter. But I don't think eventually it's going to be in their interest, because there's going to be enough people that are irritated by what has gone on that will lead to what they would term as anti-Semitism, which isn't really anti-Semitism. It's not hatred for Jews. It's just people discussing Jewish power and objecting to Jews holding those positions of power. But that's an interesting situation in itself, because once you start discussing that, you can see that they almost have a short-term outlook rather than a long-term outlook. Because I actually think that if you had, say, a little group of aliens, you know, arrived on planet Earth tomorrow, and said, right, we're taking over, you know, all of the mainstream media in the West, they wouldn't have to wield that power in a way that was not conducive to the well-being of Western folk. They could wield that power in a way that lifted us, that helped us come together, that pushed our culture, our way of life, that was positive towards our traditions and our group as a racial group on a whole, and as a collection of ethnic groups. Because obviously we are also a collection of ethnic groups. And if they did that, that little group of aliens would probably be very well liked, and even though they would be obviously different to us, they would be embraced by our people because they were doing something that helped our people. Whereas if you look at the current state of Hollywood and what it is pushing on our people. Green acres is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. Land spreading out so far and wide. Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside.
New York is where I'd rather.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Our people, because they were doing something that helped our people. Whereas if you look at the current state of Hollywood and what it is pushing upon our people, I don't think anyone could argue that what it pushes is moral or good. And this is the interesting thing. Because even the most philo-Semitic of conservatives in America, who absolutely love Israel, who love Jews, who won't hear a word against them, who love to parrot what the ADL say, who love to talk about, you know, staving off the threat of anti-Semitism, yada, 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 and all that rubbish, even they would say that what Hollywood is pushing is terrible. You know, if they were to go out in front of their constituents, they would say, yeah, Hollywood is pushing something that is not conducive to the good of America or the American people. But where they come unstuck is then people like yourself, people like Dr. David Duke, people like, you know, Mike Enoch and the NJP will say, well, but who owns Hollywood? And at that point, these philo-Semitic conservatives will be like, oh my God, what are you saying? This is anti-Semitism. And this is where we have joined up thinking, but they don't. But I don't necessarily, as I say, think that what Jews are doing is motivated by any form of long-termism. Because eventually, if they keep destabilizing Western nations and if they keep pushing anti-white narratives, eventually those Western nations will turn into versions of South Africa. And as you were saying earlier, it's completely... it would be completely ridiculous to suggest that South Africa is in a better position today than it was when whites were running South Africa. And it's white South Africa. It's an absolute hellhole now. But that is what the future of the West will be if the West keeps going in its current direction. And the people pushing it in that current direction will then, at worst, face some kind of huge backlash. That's at worst. Or at best, will simply not be able to live here, not from any backlash, but from the fact the West has become a version of South Africa, which is a place where, you know, I don't think anyone would want really, you know, ideally to live or to bring up their children because of the problems faced by everyone living there due to the fact the infrastructure's completely collapsed. I mean, in large parts of South Africa now, you can't get electricity for more than half of the day. So for more than half of the day, you're suffering these rolling blackouts. And it's the same with clean running water. It's the same with sewerage. It's the same with the rail networks. It's the same with the system of printing driver's licenses. All of these things no longer work in modern South Africa. But that is sort of a window towards the future of the whole West if we keep moving down this anti-white multicultural road.
It sounds like South Africa is becoming an African country. And we might as well. So I want to thank you for joining me, Mark. It's been a great show.
It has been a great show, and if you want to know more about Diane Abbott or listen to my listen to my video about Diane Abbott, I've put it together as more of a comical video. It's not played completely straight. So if you're looking for something a little lighthearted, that's where you should go. You can find all my videos on Odyssey, on BitChute, and you can find me on Telegram and Gab if you want my regular updates. But please do that because it's only a small click for you, but it means a great deal to me. Thanks for having me on, Patrick.
Okay, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Subscribe to the Freedom Times monthly newspaper, published since 1985. That's right, 1985. The Freedom Times pulls no punches and observes no sacred cows or taboos. The perilous times we live in are too critical for anything but honest discussion of America's plight. The Freedom Times is the antidote to the lies and distortions of the fake news media. There's no better way to inform and enlighten Americans than by reading the Freedom Times each month. New subscribers may sign up at the special rate of just $29 for 1 year or $55 for 2 years. Subscribe online by going to AmericanFreedomNews.us or mail your subscription to The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. That's the Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. Support America's best patriotic newspaper and one of the very few left by becoming a subscriber to the Freedom Times today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.